He's a little like a minute to go. We are now recording.
Okay, it's 9:01. We're going to call the Arizona State Board of Technical Registration meeting to order. It's Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. And we will begin with roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel. Still don't hear you. Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Jason Foos?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Here.
Stephen Knoll?
Here.
Andrew Everode? And one, two, three. We have a quorum and three vacancies.
Okay, before I go to call to the public, I want to remind everybody this is a telephonic meeting. There are three members here present, the Attorney General and some investigative staff. Please be considerate of folks that are speaking or when they have the floor. And also, if you feel like you're not being heard, do your best to chime up. We don't want to miss anybody in any of our actions. So if you feel like you haven't been called on or you missed your opportunity to speak, please bring it up. Even if your item is closed out, we'd like to at least know that that you're there and give you an opportunity to speak. With that, we'll do the call to the public. Members of the public may address the board during this call to the public for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to ARS 38431.01H, board members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. However, members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. There's nobody present at the table for call to the order. Is there anybody that has called in wishing to address a call to the public? I don't hear anybody, and I don't see anybody on the screen. Kurt, do you have anybody on the screen?
I mean, we have a lot of call-ins, but no one's saying anything, and there's no one commenting in the comment box.
Okay. With that, I will close the call to the public, and we'll move on to the adoption of the minutes. And for the record, I'll be abstaining on these votes, as I wasn't present at the time. So, item 4A1 is approve, modify, or reject board meeting minutes for September 22nd, 2020.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
I hear you, Dr. Angel.
Okay. Hey, I would move that we approve the minutes from the September meeting.
Second. Okay, we have a motion from Dr. Angel and a second from Neil Jones to approve. Does anybody have any alterations, corrections, amendments, anything they'd like to add? If not, I'll call for the question. Kurt, with a roll call, please.
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Jason Foos?
Abstain.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, minutes were approved for September 22nd, 2020. We'll move on to item 4B, adopt, modify, reject executive session meeting minutes. B1 is September 22nd, 2020, session A at 11:46. I think we have to take these separately.
Chair, I'll make a motion that we accept and approve the executive session minutes for BA for the first executive session.
Session A at 11:46. We have a motion from Mr. Gilmore. Do we have a second? We have a second from Mr. Jones. Does anybody have any corrections, addendum, changes, modifications? Hearing nothing, we'll do the roll call on the approval of the September 22nd, 2020 meeting A at 11:46 executive session minutes.
Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Abstain.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, the session A meeting minutes were approved. We'll go on to session B, executive session meeting minutes from September 22nd, 2020. Item B, or session B rather, at 10:20 a.m.
Chair, I'll make a motion that we accept the executive session meeting minutes from session B.
Approve
those minutes, please.
Second. We have a motion from Gilmore and a second from Jones to approve the September 22nd executive session B, 10:20 a.m. meeting minutes. Is there any comments, questions, concerns regarding those minutes or changes? Hearing none, Kurt, a roll call, please.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Abstain.
Clarence McAllister.
Abstain.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
That was a vote of five. So would that be...
everybody that's under ever.
Right. So, passes? Okay, motion passes.
Okay, that concludes the adoption of the minutes. We will move on to the next item on the agenda. And actually, we're scheduled for formal hearing at 9:30. We're going to skip over that and pop over to 6F1, which is a notification of civil malpractice action to consider opening a complaint. Kenneth Allen, registered architect, Philip, registered architect, and we have someone signed up on the phone, Mr. Falk, the respondent's attorney. Mr. Falk, are you present? We don't have
Doug.
Kurt, you want to show him?
He's on there. He's not muted.
Well, I've got a minute here to queue this item up anyways.
Mr. Folk, if you're there again, just let us know. Maybe you walked away. I do see him in the list, and I do see he's not muted.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Douglas Folk appearing for Allen and Philp Architects, Kenneth Allen and Mark Philp.
Thank you, Mr. Folk. Give me a quick second to announce that this is agenda item 6F1. The synopsis of this complaint is that the board received a copy of a malpractice complaint filed against Allen and Philp Architects. The complaint and its enclosures were sent to the board by the law offices of Snell Wilmer. Satisfy requirements set forth in ARS 32146. The conclusion, or the staff requests board guidance. Does the board want to open a case and pursue an investigation related to the lack of technical knowledge, skill, and or engaging in professional practice without firm registration? With that, I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Folk.
I have to recuse myself.
Oh, we've got one recusal, Mr. Jones. Thank you. You need to fill out a form, too.
Sure.
You can do that. So, Mr. Folk, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I am here today to answer questions if the board has any. I am counsel of record for Allen and Philp Architects in the civil action that's been sent to the board. The allegations in the complaint that you have received have been disputed. They're entirely disputed by Allen and Philp Architects, and we've filed a motion to dismiss in Maricopa County Superior Court. That motion is currently pending to be heard and decided on November 20, 2020. So So that's the current status of the civil action. We're here to cooperate, to answer any questions that the board has today.
Thank you, Mr. Folk.
Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Angel.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt if you had something you wanted to bring up.
Please, go ahead.
I was just going to provide my 2 cents on this, whether there's merit on the civil complaint or not, it's really not something that we're evaluating today. I think at this point we've been made aware of a complaint and a malpractice action, and I think it's our duty as the board to open an investigation to see if there's any merit or not. So I would, ask that we obtain relevant documents, which I think included some of the 2004 plans for Scottsdale, and maybe have an EAC look at them to decide if there's any merit or not.
Thank you, Dr. Angel. I'll take a moment and weigh in on this. I agree with you, Dr. Angel, that we should look into this, but my personal preference would be to wait till after it's resolved in the civil court or in the county court, and then take a look at it. I think that I'm not sure why I have an expectation that our action should follow the courts, but it just seems like a natural action for us. So in other words, if it's dismissed out of court, we'll have the opportunity to look at whatever evidence that they brought into court and evaluate it from that stance.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. The reason I hesitate to wait is we don't know how long, it's going to go back and forth on the courts, whether there's appeals or not. And it might also be that the civil decision would be different, as to whether there was any problems with technical knowledge and skill. You might have one without the other, I think. And regardless, by the time we obtain plans, we, have evaluators review them and hold EACs, it might still be several months. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think we need to wait. And expediency might be best for everybody involved, just to get things over with, however they shake out.
Thank you, Dr. Angel. Is there anybody else that wants to weigh in on this item?
This is Carmen Wyckoff. I agree with Dr. Angel. We don't know what the outcome of an investigation would be, but it does seem like it would be worth our staff's time to take a look at this.
Thank you, Carmen.
Can I say it?
Nope. Is there anybody else that would like to offer any opinions?
Yeah, Chair, I got a question here. It appears as though if REAC gives direction and the civil court takes a different direction, is there a conflict between the opinions? And that might be the only reason to wait for the court to decide that.
Well, I would agree with you, Mr. Gilmore, and that's really something that I'm considering, is if we do land in different spots, which one's the winner?
Yeah.
I think, at least in hindsight, if we operate in hindsight of the civil matter, we can at least address things with the understanding of what the civil matter was, and then look at the technical end of it and address any issues, if there are any.
I would agree. I would think that if this goes into litigation, that'll be examined to a lot higher level of detail that we might be able to give it. That might be the best reason to wait.
I wonder if Melissa's on the line, if she can share her thoughts, because I think when I started on the board 8 years ago, the previous executive director's practice was not to take up cases that were in litigation, but I think we changed that because the outcome of one might be different than the other. You could, for instance, have no civil responsibility but still have lack of technical knowledge at the board level in terms of its statutes. And there was also, you know, the issue of expediency. If it takes 2 to 3 years for the board to, for the courts to resolve something, then at what point is it even relevant to do a board investigation? So is Melissa on the line?
I am. Good morning. I agree with Dr. Angel, everyone. It had been the board's practice in the past because we didn't have as many investigative resources as we have available now. So clearly the standards are different in civil court than they are before the board. And I would encourage you to consider opening an investigation, letting us gather the information, and presenting it to you to determine if there's a factual basis for potential violations of our Practice Act, and not necessarily what might happen in superior court, since those that cause of action might be different.
I think to address Dr. Angel's point, we can still do our investigation after the fact. If we do come up with a different perspective, I believe that we can still take any necessary actions we need to take.
Mr. Cherry, I respect your opinion a lot, but I disagree. I mean, for instance, if there was a serious issue with technical knowledge and skill and a threat to the public, waiting till the courts adjudicate something might be putting people at risk. And I don't know that that's the case here necessarily, but I think, as Melissa said, the board statutes are different than, whether there's civil responsibility or not.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Yes, please do. And you're Mr. Folk, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, okay, Douglas Folk here. And I certainly respect Dr. Angel's opinion as well. I am well aware of the board's policies and change in policies over time. If it would help, I can provide a little bit of context for this notice. The civil lawsuit involves a mixed-use building in Scottsdale, Arizona, known as the Southbridge Project. It's an old town that's on the bank of the canal. The project was designed in 2005. Allen and Philp Architects is the architect of record on the project, but not the structural engineer. The project was approved for occupancy by the city of Scottsdale, and it's been occupied more or less continuously since it was completed in 2005. Earlier this summer, we received a demand letter from counsel for a condominium owner in the project, contending that the structural system for the building did not meet code requirements. We disagreed with their analysis. We pointed out that the building was reviewed and permitted by the city of Scottsdale, which reviewed the structural system and the structural calculations, and that for each of the tenants in the building up to the present, it has received certificates of occupancy. And unfortunately, the claimant didn't care to hear any of that. They proceeded with a lawsuit to seek to recover the cost of making modifications to the structural system. At no time has there been any notice to the owners of the building or the occupants that it is unsafe. There has not been any indication of any structural instability, defect, deflection, or any problem. This is simply a dispute over an owner of a condominium unit who wants our client to pay for the cost of making modifications to the building currently. The motion that we filed with the court points out that this claimant is a total stranger to Allen and Philp Architects. We've had no dealings with this party. The work was not done for their benefit, and we believe as a matter of law they have no right to assert a claim against the original architect of record on the project. And that is the issue that the Superior Court is considering on November 20. We filed a motion to dismiss, arguing that there is no legal duty of this original architect for this project designed and built in 2005 to 2007 to somebody who purchased a condominium unit in the building in 2018 or 2019. So that's the issue. I don't want to represent this as fact, but it is my understanding that the condominium owner has proceeded with modifications to the structure at their own expense, and they're doing whatever they think is appropriate for their use and benefit. The lawsuit is a claim to recover the cost of that work, and that's what's being disputed.
Mr. Donald?
Mr. Chair, if I may, if that's the basis of the lawsuit, then actually that wouldn't impact any investigation by the board, as the board regulates licensing solely, and so really one could certainly be in violation of board statutes regardless of the outcome of that lawsuit. If that's the basis of the lawsuit, then there's really not going to be any issue with proceeding with the board investigation.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that helps a lot. That's beneficial. Does anybody have any further questions on this? Mr. Folk, is there anything you'd like to add before we move to a vote?
No, Mr. Chairman. Again, we're here to cooperate. My clients have complete respect for the board and its operations. We respect that the claimant filed this notice because the statute said they were required to do so. We don't believe that there's a violation of any board statute or rule, and we're defending the civil action. But if the board has questions, our clients will respond and provide answers.
Thank you, Mr. Folk. Do any of the board members care to make a motion at this point?
Mr. Chair, I'll throw a motion for consideration that we, you know, to follow up on the malpractice notice, that we open an investigation against the respondents to determine if there were issues with the board statutes and rules.
Thank you, Dr. Angel. Do we have a second?
I'll second looking into that.
Thank you, Carmen. Any further discussion on the matter from the board? Hearing none, Kurt, let's go to the roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Abstain.
Recused. Jason Foos.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. We will proceed with an investigation, and that concludes item 6F1 on the agenda.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for your time today. I will sign off on the call, but I'm available if your investigator cares to contact me. We'll provide full cooperation in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Pope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concluded 6F1. We have Mr. Jones back at the table. Are there any items that anybody would like to consent in the next 4 to 5 minutes before we start our hearings?
Yeah, Chair, I would like to make a motion that we accept the proposed or the complaint's proposed resolution by dismissal of closure, item 6A, 1 through 4.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to accept the complaint's proposed for resolution, dismissal or closure, in other words, dismiss or close item 6A, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is there any discussion on the matter? Hearing none, Kurt, let's go to roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, that concludes item 6A1. The preceding cases are dismissed or closed. Any other items to consent?
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro Angel. I would move that we consent items 6B1 through 6B11 to approve the consent agreements as signed. I would like to wait to discuss 6B12 later.
We have a call. We can't do three.
Okay, Dr. Angel, would you be adverse to modifying that to remove item 3 for a call-in?
Not at all. I'm okay with that.
So the way I understand it, Mr. Chair, is we, with our board, is considering consenting 6B1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
That is the motion.
That's correct.
Second. I'll second that, Chair.
Okay, the motion by Dr. Angel and the second by Gilmore to consent 6B 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Any discussion?
Hi, this is Paul Post, and before you vote on that, for B3 with John Thorpe, I'd like some clarification.
We're removing that item from this discussion, so we'll discuss that item later in the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you for chiming up, though. That is extremely helpful to me to help guide the meeting.
Oh, don't worry. Thank you.
So we'll move ahead with 6B, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And Kurt, if you're ready for the roll call.
All right. Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. That concludes item 6B, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And that conveniently puts us at less than 1 minute before 9:30, so we can move to our formal hearings. And I'm going to shuffle some paperwork here. I'll direct everybody to item 5A1, which is alarm case AL19008. AL, alarm case 19010 and AL19019, Stevens, Travis, and Triton, alarm LCC.
And Kurt, do you have any conflicts on this?
Is there any conflicts with this matter? Does anybody need to recuse themselves?
Are there any board members that have any conflicts with this matter?
No, Travis.
Okay, I don't hear any.
All right. Let me see if the respondent is there.
I'm here.
Deanie Ray, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mona Baskin, are you there? Mona Baskin, are you present?
Kurt, this is Jeannie. Is Aaron Correll available as well?
Yes,
I'm here.
Okay.
So we're waiting for one participant.
Mona Baskin is our IA, independent advisor. Ramona, to unmute yourself is star 6. Because I cannot unmute
you. Good morning.
You. There you are.
Good morning, Ms. Good. Baskin.
Yes, good morning, members of the board. Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, serving as IA in this case.
Thank you. Good morning. We have everybody present, and I will read a few things here to introduce this case. The case, again, is Agenda Item 5A1. This is the date, time, and place where the matter dealing with Travis Stevens and Triton Alarm is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Technical Registration. This case is continued from last month, and we were at a point in the case where Ms. Ray was presenting evidence, and I would like to pick up where we left off at that point in the case. And with that, I will begin with offering Ms. Baskin the opportunity to make any comments or provide any direction to us here.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I know that you were not present at the last board meeting. However, I have been advised that you have reviewed the tape and that you have reviewed all the information in this case. So if you could just please place that on the record.
Yes, I have reviewed all of, this is Jason Foos, the chairman. I have reviewed all of the information presented and all the audio recordings pertinent to this case.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And from my review of the record, state's exhibits 1 through 12 have been admitted in evidence. And is Mr. Stevens on the line? I didn't hear him.
Yes, I am present.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Stevens. Thank you. I think that you are ready to go as long as everybody has the exhibits in front of them. And I think you're prepared to proceed with Ms. Ray.
Ms. Baskin, would you prefer that we do a roll call?
You probably should do a roll call and also do a roll call of the parties and staff that's present.
Okay, thank you. Kurt?
Board members, Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Here.
Jack Gilmore?
Here.
Neil Jones?
Here.
Jason Foos?
Here.
Clarence McAllister?
Here.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Here.
Stephen Knoll.
Here.
The witness.
Okay, witness.
Investigator Aaron Carell, here.
Let's see, independent advisor.
Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General.
Prosecuting Attorney General.
Deanie Ray, appearing for the state.
Respondent.
Present.
Respondent attorney?
Not present.
I believe that's all the parties.
Okay, that completes the roll call. Just a note of record, we do have our attorney general at the board table, our attorney general representative, and our lead investigator, Mr. Parlin, and the staff member, Rob Stan.
And Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin. I know that the witnesses were sworn at the last hearing. However, maybe if you would just re-swear in your witnesses.
Okay. Do I have a form for that?
I would assume it's in the... Ms. Baskin, we're just trying to find
the appropriate language for statements.
Was it in here, Gilmore, or did you just ask them to swear?
No, it was in there. I read it. All
right.
Okay. So I'll begin with our investigator, and I'd like you to state your name for the record.
Aaron Correll.
Aaron Correll.
Correll.
Correll, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Are there any other witnesses that we need to swear in, Ms. Baskin?
Yes, Mr. Stevens.
What was
that? Mr. Stevens, in this case, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, the witnesses have been sworn in. We'll continue the case where we left off last week with Ms. Ray's admission of evidence.
This is Deanie Ray. I'll continue at this time.
Thank you.
And Aaron Correll is called back to the stand or still on the stand, and that's my witness. So, Aaron, do you have the evidence packet in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you take a look at Exhibit 13, which is page number 043, and it's currently page 64 in the board packet?
Yes, I have it in front of me.
Can you tell the board what this document is?
This is a complaint received by our department on June 21st regarding Mr. Stevens. The complaint came in from Mr. Richard Carman.
And have you reviewed this document?
Yes, I have.
And in fact, you have talked to Mr. Carman, correct?
Yes, I have.
Is this a true and correct copy of the complaint that Mr. Carman made?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 13 be admitted into evidence.
Okay. We'll accept the
now, Mr. Mr. Chairperson, this is Mona Baskin. If you could ask Mr. Stevens if he has a position on the exhibit.
Yes.
And then the board would rule on it.
Mr. Stevens, do you have a position on this item?
No, I do not. No objection.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll do a roll call and see if the board will accept this item.
Mr. Chair, the board can, without objection from Mr. Stevens, the board can move that exhibit number 13 in evidence.
Okay, so I will move item 13 into evidence.
Okay, may I proceed?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so Ms. Correll, would you just kind of summarize for the board what the substance of Mr. Carman's complaint was?
Sure. So Mr. Carman reported that he purchased alarm equipment from Mr. Stevens, and Mr. Stevens agreed to reimburse him $34.99 per month, but charged him $64.99 per month. So Mr. Carman didn't receive his reimbursements, and his complaint was that the equipment... Hold on, let me just read it here for you. His complaint says...
No. Here's the neighbor that you can reach out and he's straight up.
So,
I'm not sure what just happened there.
Is my witness still testifying?
I just muted him real quick because I just heard this noise, and that's where the sound cut off.
So, Mr. Harvey,
okay, well, we can't. Wait, no, wait. We can't. Are you talking about Mr. Stevens?
I don't know who it was.
Okay, is Mr. Stevens still on the line?
Right. This is not about to...
Yes, I'm still on the line.
Okay. All right. So you were saying that. Well, go ahead with your testimony.
So Mr. Carmen reported that Mr. Stevens came to his residence after they met a car and installed a security system in his home in Fountain Hills. There were some issues with the contract, Mr. Carmen. Believed that he was overcharged for the contract and then later found out that Mr. Stevens was not licensed to install that equipment. So that was the basis of his complaint.
Okay. And when you spoke to Mr. Carmen, did he indicate that he actually knew Mr. Stevens personally?
Mr. Carmen told me that he met Mr. Stevens at a Euro Pizza Cafe in Fountain Hills, and that they actually met at the bar, which is where Mr. Stevens sold him this alarm equipment.
But he indicated to you that Mr. Stevens actually came to his home.
He did. He indicated to me that Mr. Stevens came to his home on two separate occasions.
And for what reason, do you know?
Yes. So the first visit to the home was to mount the sensors, and the second visit to the home was to fix the Ring doorbell equipment.
Okay. Take a look at Exhibit 14, which is Bates number 048, and it's page 69 in the board packet.
Okay. I've got that in front of me.
What is that?
This is a picture of that Mr. Carmen submitted that he identified as Mr. Stevens.
Where did he get the picture?
Mr. Carmen reported that this picture was sent to him via Facebook Messenger, and he identified this person as the person who installed the alarm equipment in his home.
And he submitted that along with his complaint, is that correct?
Yes, he did.
I would move that Exhibit 14 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, do you have any comments on that?
I would like to object to that because it seems like a pretty big contrast from, met at a bar and then it was sold over Facebook Messenger. I would like to object to that. Comment about I was there at the home or I met this individual at a bar. This was sold on Facebook Messenger, but this was not done in person.
Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin. I believe that the exhibit is a photograph, and I believe that's what is being admitted today at this moment by Ms. Ray. Not any other statements.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin. And the respondent's objection will be noted, but we'll admit the exhibit of the photograph.
Mr. Chairman, are those objections overruled?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Carell, if you look at Exhibit 15, which is Bates number 050, and it's in the board packet, it's page 71.
Yes, I have that in front of me.
And it's actually 71 and 72, I believe. Yeah, 71 through 72. What is that?
These are Facebook messages between Mr. Stevens and Mr. Carmen regarding equipment purchases.
Are they a true and correct copy of what you received from Mr. Carmen?
Yes.
I move that Exhibit 15 be moved into evidence.
Mr. Stevens?
No, I have no objection to this.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. The item is admitted into evidence. Ms. Ray, please continue.
Ms. Correll, did Mr. Carmen receive any other messages other than those Facebook messages?
Did he receive any other messages from Mr. Stevens?
Yeah, look at Exhibit 16, if you would, on page 74 of the board packet, and space number 053.
Yes. So Mr. Carmen reached out to Mr. Stevens. This looks like a text message, not a Facebook message, and asked Mr. Stevens when he will be reimbursed.
So this is after the transaction occurred?
Yes, I believe this is after the transaction.
Is it a true and correct copy of what we received from Mr. Carmen?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 16 be moved into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objections?
No objection.
Okay, we'll move Exhibit 17 into evidence. Ms. Ray, continue on.
Okay, thank you. I believe that was 16, Mr. Chairman.
That is correct. My mistake. It is item 16. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to direct your attention back to Exhibit 13. The last page of that exhibit is on base number 046, and it's the packet is page 67. Do you see what that is?
Exhibit 13, the initial complaint?
Yes, and it's the last page. It's on base number 046, board packet number 67.
Yes, I've got it in front of me.
Okay, do you recognize that?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
What is that? Did Mr. Carmen submit that along with his complaint?
In the evidence packet that I have for Exhibit 13, oh, I see here on the back. Yes, but from this packet, I can't tell what that is. I can't see.
Okay. Does it look like a contract?
It looks like a contract that may be referenced in one of the later exhibits.
Okay, so did Mr. Carmen, at Mr. Will's request, did Mr. Carmen submit a different contract, or rather, a better copy of that contract?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, would you look at Exhibit 17, which is base number 055, and that's on page 76 of the board packet?
Yes, I've got that.
And what is that?
This is an alarm monitoring agreement between Mr. Richard Carmen and Core S Sales.
And did Mr. Carmen identify this contract as the contract that he signed as a result of his dealings with Mr. Stevens?
Yes, Mr. Carmen reported that this was a contract that he signed with Mr. Stevens.
Did he explain why the company was Core S/I Sales?
Not to my knowledge.
All right. Is this a true and correct copy of the contract that you received from Mr. Carmen?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I move that Exhibit 17 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objections?
Yes, I would like to object to this because that contract is not with Triton Alarm, and my name is also not on this contract, and I'm not associated with a Core Security, and I don't even know what that is. And so based on that, I object to this.
Okay. In response, Chairman, in response,
yes.
We have testimony that establishes that this is the contract that was signed as a result of the transaction with Mr. Stevens, and Mr. Carman has reported that to the board.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Objection overruled, and we'll accept item 17 into the evidence.
So as a result of Mr. Carman's complaint, what did Mr. Will do?
Mr. Will sent a notice of investigation to respondents on June 28, 2019.
Well, that didn't come through very well. Would you repeat that answer?
Yes. Mr. Will sent a notice of investigation to Mr. Stevens on June 28, 2019.
And is that Exhibit 18, which is page number 060, page 81 in the board packet?
Yes, that's correct.
And is that a true and correct copy of the notice that Mr. Will sent to Mr. Stevens?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 18 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objections?
Yes, I would like to object to that because I didn't receive it due to my incarceration.
Okay, well, I don't think that goes to the admissibility, Chairman.
Okay. I mean, if you guys are going to object to absolutely every single thing that I say here, I mean, why don't we just skip to the end? I mean, because you guys took a contract that is not under my company name without my signature. It's a whole different company. He could have went with ADT, and you guys are going to use that as evidence against me? I mean,
Mr. Stevens, we're accepting evidence. Right now, we're accepting evidence in this case. Board's going to overrule your objection and accept Exhibit 18. Carry on, Ms. Ray.
Do you know, Ms. Correll, that notice, Exhibit 18, was sent to the prison?
It doesn't matter. You guys are still going to hit me with it as evidence,
Mr.
so
Stevens,
it doesn't matter. What you can we just skip to the
Mr.
end?
Mr. Stevens, you're out of order.
Yes, the notice was sent to Alhambra Reception and was sent to Travis Stevens with his ADC inmate number.
And do you know whether or not Mr. Will spoke with Mr. Stevens at the prison?
Mr. Will spoke with Mr. Stevens on July 25th, 2019. It was a phone call that was facilitated by the prison staff. I did speak with Mr. Will regarding this conversation, and he didn't have a specific memory of this conversation, only that the prison staff would facilitate those phone calls for Mr. Stevens.
Based on looking at Mr. Will's reports and talking to him, has he indicated in any of those documents or in your conversations that Mr. Stevens ever admitted that he was engaged in an alarm operation or alarm business?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
In Mr. Wells' reports for his conversations, did he indicate that Mr. Stevens admitted that he was involved in alarm sales and alarm business in Arizona?
Mr. Will reported that he asked Mr. Stevens about the alarm contract that was sold specifically to Mr. Carman, and Mr. Will reported that Mr. Stevens stated that it could have been one of his people that sold the account. Mr. Stevens did acknowledge living in Fountain Hills, and reportedly said that that's where he ran his business for approximately 4 years.
And Mr. Will, did he receive a response to Exhibit 18?
He did not receive
a written response.
He received a response.
Go ahead.
Well, the board received a response from Mr. Stevens on July 30th of this year, of 2020.
Okay. But Mr. Will did not receive a written response in response to his notice on June 28th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But he did speak with Mr. Stevens at the prison. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, when you spoke to Mr. Carmen, did he tell you where the line was supposed to be installed?
Yes, he verified the address that the alarm was supposed to be installed at was his home address in Fountain Hills.
Do you specifically remember that address?
It's the same address that's listed on the initial complaint, which was the 14802 Yerba Buena Way.
Okay. As a result of your taking over this investigation, you said you did your own investigation, and one of the things that you did was you went to the internet. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what did you find?
Well, I found several things on the internet. There, in Mr. Will's initial investigative packet, there was a website that he printed out from Triton Alarm. I believe it's Exhibit 19.
Okay, let's go to Exhibit 19, which is base number 063 and board packet number 84.
So this was actually included in Mr. Will's initial investigation, and it is a printout from Triton Alarm that lists Travis@TritonAlarm.com as the email address. It lists the identified phone number of 480-881-2724, and it also states the Arizona State license number of 21495.
And that license number is from a what we might call a defunct application for an alarm business for Triton Alarm in Arizona. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is this a true and correct copy of what Mr. Will had included in the file from Mr. Stevens' website?
Yes, it is.
Pardon?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 19 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, do you have any objections to Exhibit 19?
I have no objection to that. We were in the process of buttoning things up, and then I got in trouble. So, I have no objection.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. We'll accept Exhibit 19 into evidence. Ms. Ray, carry on.
There was also...
You did say... I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was also an additional internet search that I did that uncovered a LinkedIn page that lists Travis Stevens as the deputy CEO of Triton Alarms.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. You said that Mr. Stevens responded in July of this year to the complaint. Would you look at Exhibit 20, which is base number 068 and board packet number 89.
Yes, I've got that in front of me.
Is that what you were referring to?
Yes, it is.
And I think that this is part of the record anyway, but is this a true and correct copy of what we received from Mr. Stevens?
Yes, it is.
If it's not part of the record already, I move that it be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objection?
No, not at all.
We'll accept
did you
the
know-
20 into evidence. Ms. Ray, continue.
Ms. Carell, thank you. Ms. Carell, did you note in that response Mr. Stevens stated that he had been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for attempted murder?
Yes, it looks like that is included as a PS in his response.
Okay. Would you look at Exhibit 21? It's a fairly lengthy exhibit. Starts on page 93 of the board packet, page number 072.
Yes, I've got that in front of me.
Have you reviewed this before?
Yes, I have.
Was this something that you got in your investigation or something that Mr. Will obtained?
I believe this is something Mr. Will obtained in his investigation. This wasn't a piece that I pulled.
All right. So,
this is Aaron Eastley with DCRA. How are you all doing this afternoon?
Ms. Ryan,
great.
Chairman.
All right. So, let me just ask everyone to meet your phone lines. The mic will be great. We'll go ahead and get started with the review session meeting number 14-2908 Albemarle Street, Northwest. Permit number B201.
Took a while to find, sorry.
Okay.
Ms. Ray, my apologies.
That
I don't know what that is.
That was interesting.
Radio background that's not pertinent to the meeting, correct?
It's probably in the prison with Mr. Stevens.
It was not me.
Really? My apologies.
It really wasn't. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Ms. Ray, if you could please just restate your statement before we had that little interruption, just to have a clear record. Thank you. I think it was, is this something that you obtained or that Mr. Will obtained?
I believe this is something Mr. Will obtained.
And have you reviewed this document?
Yes, I did.
Is it a true and correct copy of the criminal record for Mr. Stevens that exists in the file?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 21 be introduced into evidence, or admitted into evidence, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Stevens, any objection?
No, none at all.
Okay, the board will admit Exhibit 21 into evidence. Ms. Ray, continue.
My sole reason for having you look at that document, Ms. Carell, is to ask you this question. Did you see anywhere in there that Mr. Stevens was accused of attempted murder?
No. From these documents, it looks like he was accused of aggravated assault.
Right. He was dropped from attempted murder to aggravated assault. So.
Mr. Stevens, I remind
but
you.
But in his. Excuse me.
Continue, Ms. Ray. I'm sorry.
In his response, he states that he is in prison for attempted murder, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now, you said that you found a LinkedIn page. Look at Exhibit 22. That's board packet 113 and Bates 092.
Yes, I've got that in front of me.
Okay, so what is this that you found?
So this is a snapshot of the LinkedIn page for Triton Alarms that lists Travis Stevens with the previously identified phone number, and it lists Travis as the deputy CEO from June 2012 to present.
And is this a true and correct copy of what you found on the internet?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 22 be moved into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objection?
No objection.
Thank you. The board will admit Exhibit 22 into evidence.
Now, this LinkedIn page that you have, this is current, is that correct?
It is not current at the moment.
Mr. Stevens?
That question was not for you, Mr. Stevens.
Oh, sorry about that.
I don't know that it's current, but it is active on the internet.
Let's look at Exhibit 23, which is Board Packet 115, page 115, and dates number 094.
Yes, I've got this in front of me.
Okay, what is this?
This is an email between Mr. Will and Alliance Security regarding the contract that Mr. Carmen signed for alarm equipment.
Okay, I want you to repeat that answer because there's an awful lot of sort of background noise and I'm not getting it.
So this is an email between Mr. Will and Alliance Security regarding the contract that Mr. Carmen signed for alarm services with Mr. Stevens.
All right, so now where did this come from?
So this was a subsequent case that was opened by the board to deal with the contract identified by Mr. Carmen, which listed Core S and Alliance Security as the purchasers.
All right, have you reviewed this email?
Yes, I have.
Is it a true and correct copy of what was in the file from Alliance Security?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 23 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, any objections?
Oh, man.
Mr. Stevens, any objection?
Yes, I'd like to object to this. Alliance Security was basically we utilized for licenses that were out of state.
Do you have legal basis for objection, or are you?
It's just I'm objecting to it. Of course, you're going to overturn it, but I'm objecting.
What's your legal basis?
Legal basis is that email does not specify where exactly those clients were based out of. This company has a footprint in the entire United States, and that email is not specific at all to Arizona.
Ms. Bass?
If I may respond.
Please.
That issue goes to maybe the weight that you might give this evidence, but not to the admissibility, and I would dispute the issue regarding weight as well, but I don't think that goes to admissibility.
Objection overruled. We will admit item 23 into the record.
Was Alliance, thank you. Was Alliance disciplined?
Yes, they were. They ultimately signed a consent agreement with the board.
And what was the basis of that discipline?
Alliance acknowledged that Mr. Stevens, that they purchased 14 alarm monitoring contracts from Mr. Stevens, who was unlicensed to sell those at that time.
And did they indicate whether those contracts were local or not?
They did not specifically indicate that they were local. However, the consent agreement with Alliance specifically references Mr. Carmen's address in Fountain Hills.
So this entire investigation of Alliance was based on the alarm sale to Mr. Carmen by Mr. Stevens in Fountain Hills. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And who was the controlling person of Alliance?
the controlling person of Alliance looks like it is Ricardo Diaz.
Let's look at Exhibit 24. That is page 110 in the board packet, and it's base number 097.
Okay, I don't believe I have Exhibit 24. Mine stops at 23.
There's a packet available here at the table. Feel free to reposition yourself.
What page was that, Deanie, in the board packet?
118.
It's page 110.
I've got 118.
Okay. Mr. Donald, this is.
Okay, I have that in front of me.
And can you tell us what this is?
Yes, so this is an email from Mr. Matthew Pitts, who is identified as the General Counsel for Alliance Security. Mr. Pitt acknowledged that they received a total of 14 customers from Mr. Stevens.
All right, and this is a true and correct copy of an email that was received from Mr. Pitts to the board?
Yes, it is.
I move that Exhibit 24 be admitted into evidence.
Mr. Stevens, do you have any objections to the admissibility of this item?
Yes. Based on there is no specifics to geographical area in that, in number 24.
Okay, that sounds like a weight of evidence issue. We'll overrule that and accept Item 24 into the evidence.
And with that, Chairman, I have no further questions of Ms. Correll, although I would submit that she, Mr. Stevens, may want to cross-examine her.
Okay, at this point, the state has turned the table over to the respondent, and the respondent may cross-examine the witness. Mr. Stevens, you have the floor.
No, I have no further questions.
Thank you. With that,
the state rests.
The state rests. Are there any additional witnesses by the state?
No.
Okay, and the state does rest for the record. Does the respondent wish to testify or call any witnesses?
No, I do not.
Okay. Are there any additional? Well, I'm sorry. This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. The state may present a closing argument. Ms. Ray?
Yes, thank you. Let me just shut the door so we can't really have a dog issue, sorry. Okay, so what is alleged in the complaint and notice of hearing is that the respondent is not and never has been licensed as an alarm agent. And further, that Triton Alarm has also never been licensed as an alarm business. And that has been established for Mr. Stamm. It's clear that respondent at some point in time in 2014 submitted applications for an alarm agent and for a controlling person, but he did not complete the application process, and that was in connection with Triton Alarm. He did not submit the required photo, driver's license, corporation documents. He did not respond to staff when a hit came back on his background check. So his application was closed due to incompleteness.
on January 24th, the board received a complaint that was an internal complaint alleging that the respondent and respondent firm were advertising and engaged in alarm business activities without registration with the board. Now, that complaint is based upon a call to Michelle Johnson, in which the agent that called, representing Triton Alarm, indicated that the business was up and operating. And that's what generated the complaint that was then sent to Mr. Perla and then assigned to Mr. Will. Shortly thereafter, on February 11th, the board received the anonymous complaint alleging that respondent and respondent firm engaged in door-to-door sales alarm systems without board registration. Now, it's clear that Mr. Stevens feels like that complaint is a hearsay, and it is hearsay, but in view of all of the evidence in this case, I submit that it's reasonable and reliable hearsay. It's clear that there was an internet web page that offered the installation and sale of alarm systems in Arizona. We've introduced that web page. In addition, Mr. Will initiated a sting operation in which he contacted Triton Alarm and was offered the sale and installation of an alarm system in Glendale. And finally, the board received a complaint from Mr. Carmen alleging that respondent conducted an alarm system sale and installation also without registration at the Yerba Buena Way address in Fountain Hills. The existence of this complaint establishes beyond doubt that Mr. Stevens was engaged as an alarm agent in alarm sales and was conducting alarm sales as an unlicensed agent. And further, Mr. Will spoke to Mr. Stevens, and Mr. Stevens indicated that he had been operating a business in Fountain Hills and that he employed people for 4 years without being registered with the board. I believe that the state has proved its case, and that closes my closing statement.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. Mr. Stevens, would you care to present a closing argument?
Not at this time. So I feel like it doesn't matter what I say here. Even if I say we operated in Wisconsin, we were looking to do business out here in Arizona, and we had some internal conflicts. That's why the licensing didn't get done. We did advertise the alarm business. We added Arizona to that. It didn't get done due to some personal issues. Alliance was the company that would send out sales people to the homes. I didn't actually go out to the homes personally, but it seems like no matter what I tell you guys, it's just going to get thrown the other way. So I have nothing else to say.
I would like to remind you, Mr. Stevens, that this is probably the time to say everything that you tried to say while we were attempting to admit evidence. So I want to make sure that you understand this is your time now to say all those things. So
okay.
Please, I give you the floor.
I understand. Okay, yeah, I understand. Like I was saying previously, we operate in Wisconsin. That's where the business was originated. We had intentions to come out here to Arizona. I had a conversation with Will, and I told him I also have another business here. I told him I have a business here. I didn't specify what business. I never said that I employ salespeople out here. And I did tell Will over the phone that, if he wants an alarm system, we don't operate in Arizona. This was a recorded conversation. And I also told him that if he does want an alarm system, I can refer him to another company, which would have been Alliance, and Alliance would have sent a licensed sales rep, as I stated in that recorded conversation.
And that was pretty much the basis of it. As far as the client goes with Mr. Richard Carmen, we did send an Alliance technician out to that home. Unfortunately, due to my incarceration, I was not able to answer his phone calls. You know, therefore, that's why the complaint materialized. So I have nothing else to say.
May I speak in rebuttal?
Yes, please do, Ms. Ray.
Okay, one of the things that I think we've established in this case is that Mr. Stevens' credibility is not very good. And part of that is coming from the fact that he has a felony conviction, but also that he misrepresented that felony conviction. He exaggerated it, which indicates that he's not a slave to the truth. We have a situation in which, yes, Mr. Stevens did, in the second recorded telephone conversation, indicate that he was not operating in Arizona, but that was after, if you listen to those conversations, that was after it became clear to him that Mr. Will was not a legitimate customer and that he really was calling from the board. And I think that's evident from the recording itself, that at that point, Mr. Stevens began to sort of backtrack and backpedal and indicate that he was not involved in alarm sales. So you can't take that as being proof of anything other than the fact that he's trying to hide the fact that he's operating an alarm system and an alarm business without registration. It's clear. And we know that that happened because we have a witness who personally identified him and knew him and testified or at least indicated to the board that he came to his house twice for two installations. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. Does that conclude the rebuttal from the state?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. We will move on to the board discussion. And that happens through the chairperson. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or entertain motions. The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes factual allegations. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. So I open the floor up to the board as we look at the allegations.
Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin, and I would just point the board's attention to pages 3 and 4 of the complaint notice of hearing that contains the factual allegations that the board is considering. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin. And I am pulling that up as we speak here.
That would be on page 126 of the board packet.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. Okay, the factual allegations are the respondent has never been registered with the board as an alarm agent or controlling person of respondent firm, and the respondent firm has never been registered with the board as an alarm business. Do we want to do these one by one, or do we want to take them all?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Mona Baskin. You may consider all of the factual allegations together, and then if the board determines that the state has proven those factual allegations, there would be a motion to accept the factual allegations as the board has considered, but they can be considered all together.
Okay, I will continue to read through all of them then for the record. Continuing on, the respondent submitted applications for alarm agent and controlling person in June of 14, but he did not complete the application process. He did not submit the required photo, driver's license, or corporation documents. He did not respond to staff requests when a hit came back on his background check. Respondent's application was closed August 14th, board meeting, due to incompleteness. And that is August 2014 board meeting. The next finding of fact is on January 24th, 2019, the board received a complaint alleging that the respondent and respondent firm advertised and engaged in alarm business activities without registration with the board. The next finding of fact is on February 11th, 2019, the board received a complaint alleging that the respondent firm engaged in door-to-door sales of alarm systems without board registration. The next item, finding of fact, is on March 20, 2019, respondent and respondent firm maintained an internet web page offering the sale and installation of alarm systems in Arizona. The next finding of fact is on March 20, 2019, respondent and respondent firm offered the sale and installation of alarm system in Glendale, Arizona. The next finding of fact is on June 20, 2019, the board received a complaint alleging that the respondent conducted an alarm system sale and installation without registration as an alarm agent at 14802 Yerba Buena Way, Apartment C in Fountain Hills, California, on July 29.
Excuse me, you just said, I believe that's Arizona, Mr. Chairman.
Arizona.
You said California.
Oh. Sorry. My mistake. That would be in Fountain Hills, Arizona. The next item is on July 25th, 2019, respondent told staff that he was operating an alarm business and employed people installing alarm systems for 4 years without being registered with the board. That is the complete findings of fact, and we will entertain motion and discussion to adopt these findings of fact. So I'll open the floor up to motions and discussion.
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro Angel. I move that we adopt factual allegations through number 11. I'm not sure if we still need more discussion number 12, because the respondent is claiming he never told staff that he had been, specifically that he'd been operating an alarm business.
So the motion is to accept and adopt factual allegations number 5 through 11.
This is Nora Baskin. Dr. Angel, was that a motion or was that a call for discussion regarding adopting 1 through 11 and whether the board should consider adopting number 12? I'm sorry, I had a lot of static.
Yeah.
If you could clarify.
I don't know what the proper way to do it is, Ms. Baskin, but I am willing to move 5 through 11, and I would like to hear more on number 12. Before deciding whether we should adopt it or not. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. Okay, well, the board could have discussion regarding number 12, or they could take your motion on item number, findings of fact number 5 through 11 as moving those, as adopting those, and then you could have further discussion and decide whether or not to adopt finding of fact number 12.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, do you have a preference?
I think the motion is clearer if we adopt 5 through 11
Okay, so I move that we adopt 5 through 11. Findings of fact, or factual allegations 5 through 11.
I second that, Chair.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt factual allegations number 5 through 11. Is there any further discussion on these items?
Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin. If we could have the second identify themselves for the audio record. Thank you.
Steve Noel, seconding that motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Noel. Thank you, Mr. Baskins.
Thank you.
So we have a motion to adopt findings of fact 5 through 11. I hear no discussion. With that, we'll go to roll call. Kurt.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Carmen Wyckoff.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, items 5.
Mr. Chair, this is Carmen Wyckoff. I am going to have to drop off of the meeting. I apologize.
Okay, that leaves
us. I believe we still have a quorum, right, Kurt?
Correct. That leaves us with 6 members.
So Ms. Wyckoff's leaving the meeting, and we continue with a quorum. We've adopted findings of fact, items 5 through 11. We'll go to item 12, and Dr. Angel, I'll open up the floor for discussion on the item.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I guess my question is, the respondent is claiming that he never said he'd operate an alarm business. I think, and the state might have made the case as to when he admitted specifically to that, but with so many exhibits and spanning over a couple of months, I'm not sure where that information was presented in one of the exhibits. So maybe open with the state if they can explain how they came up or how they supported that the respondent specifically mentioned to the board that he was operating an alarm business.
Thank you, Dr. Angel.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Angel, members of the board. At this time, the board is in discussion, and the state has rested, and the presentation of the evidence has closed at this time. So the board would need to have its discussion focusing on the evidence, the weight of the evidence, and the credibility of the witnesses, and make a determination regarding item number 12.
Thank you.
Chair, I got a question. Did item 12, was that a result of Mr. Williams' research, or did that come from the state?
Well, the state would have processed that evidence, any evidence to get to this claim. There were recordings between Investigator Will and Mr. Stevens. There were voice recordings, phone calls, where they were apparently or allegedly engaging in some form of discussion about purchasing an alarm.
Well, the note says he told staff. Mr. Stevens told staff. I'm just curious if that was Will. I'm assuming it was, so that would lend a lot more credibility. Dr. Angel, is that your question?
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, thank you for the reminder. I do believe that the respondent told Mr. Will that he operated an alarm business. The one concern I have is I don't recall anywhere that he mentioned he'd been doing that for 4 years. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's appropriate. Can we modify the factual allegations? I'll say that the state proved that the respondent told staff he was operating an alarm business.
Yes, hi, this is Mona Baskin. I'm sorry, I had a lot of static there. I believe that was Dr. Angel. Mr. Chair, members of the board, can review, make a determination on accepting all or part of that allegation. And we need to state their reason probably on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, so to move things along, referring to the recordings between Mr. Stevens and Mr. Will, I am comfortable that he told staff he was operating an alarm business. I am not sure about the timeline, so I would move, in fact, in the sense that he had been doing that for 4 years, so I would move that we adopt factual allegation 12 partially to state that
Respondent told staff he was operating an alarm business and employed people installing alarm systems without being registered with the board. So basically removing the reference to 4 years.
Okay, Dr. Angel, is that a motion?
That is a motion, Mr. Chair.
I would accept that motion, and just for clarity, the motion is to strike the word 4 years or the duration of 4 years from the finding of fact. Is that correct, Dr. Angel?
That's correct. Strike for 4 years.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the item?
I'll second that, Chair.
I already did.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, hearing none, we'll go to a roll call to accept and adopt item 12 as a finding of fact, striking the phrase for 4 years.
Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin. I apologize for interrupting, but again, I did not hear the second. I heard that Dr. Angel made the motion, and I just would need for the record to make a second. Thank you.
Do you need me to recite the motion again, Ms. Baskin?
No, sir. I was able to hear the motion. It was very clear. I just didn't hear the name of the board member who seconded in Dr. Angel's motion.
Oh, that was me, the chairman, Jason Foose. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't. I had some static at that time. Thank you, sir, for the clarification.
No problems. No problems. Okay. So, Kurt, if you'll carry on with the roll call.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Stephen Knoll.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. At this time, we have adopted the findings of fact. We have adopted a partial finding of fact in item 12. And I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by proponents of the evidence the factual allegations of items 5 through 12 in the complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations as the board's finding of fact. And someone second me on that.
Second that, Chair.
This is Jack Gilmore.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mona Baskin. I thought that we had already adopted through the two motions the findings of fact. Mr. Winter, am I unclear on that on the record?
At this point, I believe that I was doubling up on or reassuring the statements, but I believe that they have been adopted, so I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Winter, is the record clear on that from your end regarding adopting findings of fact 5 through 11 in total and finding of fact number 12 with the deletion of the words for 4 years? Is that on the record?
It is indeed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Winter, for that confirmation. The board will now move to conclusions regarding the alleged violations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin. The complaint, the second item for discussion is the conclusions of law. The complaint alleges violations of law on page 4 of the notice of hearing and complaint, which is here in my packet, page 127 of the packet. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact which we have just adopted constitute a violation or violations of our statutes and rules. The allegations of violations are found on page 4. It's page 127 in the packet. I'd like the board members to take a quick look at those. It's items 13 and 14. I will read them because it is two items. The conduct alleged in the factual allegations constitutes grounds for discipline pursuant to ARS 32-121 and 32-145-I, in that the respondent engaged in the occupation of an alarm agent without board registration. Item 14 in the second allegation of violation is the conduct alleged in the factual allegations constitutes grounds for discipline pursuant to ARS 32-121, 32-122.05, and 32-141, and that the respondent firm conducted an alarm business activities in Arizona without alarm business and controlling person registration with the board. Those are the alleged violations. I will open up the floor for discussion and motion.
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro Angel again. I think we, by adopting the findings of fact, we've shown that we should adopt these as conclusions of law. So I move that we adopt number 13 and 14 as conclusions of law.
Second, Chair, is Gilmore.
Okay, we have a motion from Dr. Angel to adopt items 13 and 14 as conclusions of law, and a second from Gilmore. Is there any further discussion on the floor? Hearing none, we'll move to roll call. Kurt?
Okay. Dr. Alejandro Angel?
Aye.
Jack Gilmore?
Aye.
Neil Jones?
Aye.
Jason Foos?
Aye.
Clarence McAllister?
Aye.
Stephen Knoll?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, the final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board order may consider the following actions pursuant to the statute. Keep in mind that this person is not a registrant, so the items are normally issue a letter of reprimand, impose probation requirements that are best adapted to protect the public safety, health, and welfare, impose peer review and professional education requirements, impose restrictions on the scope of the registrant's practice, administrative penalty in an amount not to exceed $2,000 per violation, and suspension for a period of 3 years, or G, revocation. I look to Ms. Baskins to guide us through this, where we may face a question of applicability with the person not being a registrant.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I would point the board's attention to page 2 of the complaint, and I apologize, I don't have the numbers that relate to the board materials on that, but it is the final full paragraph, and it states, pursuant to ARS 32106.02B and 32128H, if it is determined that you have violated a board statute or rule, discipline against you can include a civil penalty of up to $2,000 per violation, and that would be through ARS 32106.02B, and you may also be charged for the cost of its investigation, including the board's attorney's fees, and that would be under ARS 32128H.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin. At this point, we have two conclusions here, and or two violations. We've concluded there's two violations. So, is there any discussion about the severity of the violations or the application of penalties? I'm hearing nothing. I'll make a motion that we impose $2,000 penalty per violation, which would equate to $4,000 for both violations, and the cost of investigation.
Legal fees.
And according to the documentation in front of us, we may add the board's attorney fees to that. I would include that. And at this point, I'm going to turn to Ms. Baskins and say and request some information. Ms. Baskins, would we move to a formal hearing, or does this serve as the formal hearing for the case?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, pursuant to the board's complaint and notice of hearing, this was the board's formal hearing before the board. The board is now at the phase where you're considering the disciplinary order based on the board's findings of facts and conclusions of law and the relevant statutes that apply in this case. I believe you do have the motion for a $2,000 imposition of a civil penalty, and that would be pursuant to 32106.02B, and I believe you stated that that was $4,000 in total. And you would also be requesting in that order a finding and an imposition of the cost of investigation and the attorney's fees pursuant to ARS 32128H. I hope that, was that helpful to you, Mr.
That was
Chair?
Helpful, Ms. Baskins. I am concerned about applying time, the timeliness of the payment towards this, and assessing an equitable period for the respondent to pay.
And that would be something for the board to consider in that, in your motion.
Okay, so I'm going to withdraw my motion because I don't feel that I can complete the terms of that motion with the time constraint without discussion or input from the board. So I'm looking at this board and requesting some help to determine what is going to be a fair amount of time for this respondent to pay these fines.
Mr. Chair, this is Alejandro Angel. I don't know. I mean, given the circumstances of the respondent right now, I'm not even sure if he has the ability to pay the fine. I would advocate for, you know, fairly lengthy window to pay the fines, or potentially reducing the fines.
I'm comfortable with whatever the board feels. I started at the maximum because that's what's printed in the order, or printed in the paperwork here. But I'm comfortable. I want to hear from this board and what this board thinks. So maybe it's an appropriate time to run a roll call and get everybody's opinion on this first.
All right.
It would be appropriate for a board discussion on this, not really a roll call. A roll call is really appropriate once the board has, there's been a motion, a second, and we're coming to a decision on that motion. So this is something that's really fertile for a board's discussion regarding, based on Dr. Angel's statements regarding he's considering either lowering the fines or a lengthy time to pay. So this is the board's opportunity for discussion. Thank you.
Chair, as I recall, he's in jail for another year. So the earliest he could start generating any income would be the time he gets out, allegedly. So,
sorry to interrupt. I have approximately 237 more days.
Okay. So, 6 months.
Chairman,
yes.
This is Deanie Ray. May I speak?
Please do, Ms. Ray.
Yeah, I think at this time it's appropriate to hear a recommendation from the state's attorney regarding the order, unless Ms. Baskin disagrees.
Ms. Baskin, I'll give you every opportunity to weigh in on this issue.
Generally that's included in the state's closing argument. I that would be a deviation if the board wishes to hear from Ms. Ray. That's your opportunity, and then I would state that you'd have an opportunity to listen to what Mr. Stevens has to say in all fairness.
I would agree with that.
So if we give him, say, just for discussion, 3 years, I'm not going to hold that time. from the date he leaves incarceration. What's the enforcement? How do we know this is going to get taken care of? How does that? What's the backup for this? And maybe we need some direction from the state.
This is Mona Baskin. Generally what happens, Mr. Chair, members of the board, if the civil penalty is not paid by that period of time, then there is a referral to the Attorney General's mm-hmm. office for collection. And I would ask for input from your executive director, Ms. Cornelius, on just the specific procedure on how that's handled. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Normally what we do is we would issue the final order and go through the appeal process clearly, and then if the order is not complied with, we would, we could initiate clearly a failure to comply and forward the action to the Attorney General's office for formal collection. We've done that numerous times in the past.
Thank you, Melissa. For the record,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Angel.
I was just going to say that I think, I think the offense is very severe, but I think, you know, moving forward, more than just being more punitive, it's about, you know, making sure it doesn't happen again. And, you know, if we can avoid going back and forth to collections and all those things, I would be all for reducing the fine maybe to $2,000 and giving him a year to pay it up. Just my 2 cents.
No problem with that. He's more likely to pay
$2,000 to $4,000
anyway.
Can I chime in for a moment? Anyone?
Yes, Mr. Stevens, I'll give you a minute. 1 minute.
Okay. I like that idea of the $2,000 and having a year to pay it. Just so everybody knows, my release date is July 29th of 2021. If you gave me a year to pay that, I would like a little bit longer, maybe like a year and a half, I could have it paid. If the fee is $2,000, please also keep in mind, I mean, due to the circumstances with my incarceration, I'm also still paying my bills while I'm locked up in here without any income coming in. I also have a daughter to support. She's 2. Please keep that in mind. I could have this fee paid as long as I have, say, maybe a year after my release. I could probably have this paid by next winter. So that's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, this is Mona Baskin. Because the board permitted Mr. Stevens to make a statement, and the fact that the state does bear the burden of proof in this case, it would be only fair to have Ms. Ray be able to make a statement if she chooses at this point.
Ms. Ray, the floor is open to you for a follow-up statement.
Originally I was going to say that the cost of investigation, including attorney's fees, would be quite high in this case. And I was going to suggest that if you impose that you reduce the fine significantly to even maybe $500 per violation, because I suspect that the cost of investigation, which is a true cost to the board, be reimbursed. But you don't know what that is at this point until we figure it out, so you'd have to order it to be cost of investigation as determined, by the board or by the executive director. I don't have a strong opinion about that either way. I think you can go in either direction. I don't object to giving the respondent time to pay.
Thank you, Ms. Ray. So I'll continue on with the motion. I move that we impose a fine of $1,000 per violation, a total of $2,000, due and payable January 1st, 2021.
Wait a minute.
2022. January 1st, 2022. I'll withdraw,
Mr. Chair,
my motion and let somebody make a motion that knows what date it is.
So, Mr. Chair, if your intent was 18 months, I think that'd be January 1st, 2023.
No.
18 months is 540 days, just FYI, if you want to put in 540 days.
So that would be 18 months from his release date, I think.
18 months puts it in March or April of 23. Sorry, 22. March or April of 22. But I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that makes sense. Just 18 months would make sense, and I think that's what the respondent asked for.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is Myrna Baskin. It would be from the effective date of the order, and the respondent in this case, Mr. Stevens, will have additional time to request a motion for rehearing or review. So it could, in the event that does not happen, it will be another 35 days from the effective date of the order.
Okay, so this is Chairman Foose. I will reassert my motion, and we impose a fine of $1,000 per violation in the sum of $2,000. We're not going to do the cost of investigation or attorney fees, but we expect the fines to be paid within 18 months of the effective date of this order.
Mr. Chair, I second that motion.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Kurt, let's go to the roll call if you're prepared.
Dr. Alejandro Angel.
Aye.
Jack Gilmore.
Aye.
Neil Jones.
Aye.
Jason Foose.
Aye.
Clarence McAllister.
Aye.
Stephen Noel.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, the motion is passed. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes the matter. Thank you all for attending and working through this COVID-related phone challenge that we're faced with every month. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to call a recess in the meeting. It's 11 o'clock. Let's go till 11:15.
We are now recording.
Okay, it is 11:15, and I'm calling the meeting back into session. We're going to move on to item 5B1, which is a formal administrative hearing and or review or discuss and take possible action to deem respondent admission to the complaint and notice of hearing. And I will get this queued up on my screen.
Mr. Gilmore?
Yo.
This is David Williams. I'm counsel for Peter Takosh. I was wondering if it would be possible to take up agenda item 6D. Mr. Takosh and I are both present in the meeting via Google Meet. I had a pretty full afternoon schedule, so I was hoping to possibly take up his particular investigative issue before the board would break for the lunch hour.
Sir, this is the chairman, Jason Foose, and yes, we will go to that item. What item number is that,
Mr. Foose?
61?
Mr. Foose, I apologize, but I think all hearings must take place at 9:30.
Well, the board can control the agenda. I would recommend checking with the IA to make sure the IAs will be available for all hearings because it is scheduled for a certain time frame. So I would leave that to the IA and the board to determine the agenda for hearings.
Okay, sir. So apparently I got some advice here to check with our IA. We do have an IA scheduled for the formal administrative hearings. Is the IA present on the phone?
Yes. Yes. Hello. This is Mona Baskin. I am still on the phone. And as far as my schedule, I'm at the board's disposal for the rest of the day. So if the board wishes to proceed with this other item, you may do that. I'll just hold on.
Thank you, Mona. I appreciate that, and I'm sure that the folks in this particular case appreciate that. So with that.